If you would, turn in your Bibles in the Old Testament to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. I'm a little concerned about not so much the message, the aftermath of the message. We had a message this morning on marigolds, and Stacy promptly, we went home after lunch, and she had me planting more marigolds. Tonight's lesson is about the golden calf, and so I'm a little worried about that. I hope it doesn't follow suit there. That ain't going to happen. But anyway, it always amazes me about how dumb people are, how people just don't learn. How people, I never drank. I never did. But I'd hear friends of mine growing up about how drunk they got, how sick they were, how bad it was. And then they were back doing it the next day or a couple of days later. I'm reminded in Galatians, the first chapter, how Paul is talking about, starting in verse 6, how he's talking to the Christians there in Galatia about, he goes, I'm amazed that you're turning from the gospel to a different gospel. After being taught, I'm surprised that you would want to go back to a different gospel. It's not anything new. The Israelites had been in bondage for 400 years. Moses leads them out under God's direction. They are now out of bondage. And what do? First chance they get, they're building an idol. After they've seen the power of God, they're building an idol. And starting in verse 1, in Exodus 32, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them to Aaron. It surprises me, one, that the people did it, but that Aaron would go along with it. Here is the brother of Moses who had seen the powerful works of God, who Aaron and his sons were going to be the priests. It's bad enough that the people are doing it, but one of the leaders is going right along with it. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. It's bad enough that Aaron didn't stop it when they wanted to have an idol. He didn't stop, but he participated with it. And then when they're saying, this is our God, Aaron went along. Yeah. He could have stopped it right there, corrected the people right then and there. But then he makes a proclamation. Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, I'm not exactly sure, not being in that culture, what they meant about when, before about Aaron said, this is a proclamation, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. It sounds like it's a holiday to them. You know, we, every Sunday, we come to worship, assemble as a body, to offer worship to God. We need to make sure that our attitude is that. That we're, you know, I've heard people say over the years, and I've heard stories of people saying this, you know, well, I just didn't get anything out of this. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament, even though we do get an awful lot out of fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters, we get a great deal of benefit ourselves from doing what we do every Sunday. We get a great deal of benefit coming together Wednesday night, studying the Bible together. But when we come to worship, I don't see anywhere where we're supposed to be the recipient of something. It is an offer of worship and adoration and praise to God the Father. And in this setting, Aaron, on top of all this stuff, he says, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And it says the next day they're getting up early. They brought their burnt offerings or peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I don't get it. What a backwards way of thinking. What a wrong logic in this whole way of looking at things. Not only what they're doing is wrong, but their attitude, the whole thing. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have been told, as I have commanded them. If God had left it up to them to do it the way they wanted, that's one thing. God had told them, had commanded them, and they went a different way. And God's telling Moses, you better hurry and get down there because they're going nuts. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And I will make of you a great nation. I picture this attitude, God and Moses. I don't know if you, I guess the word conversing, I can't think of a better word, communicating. God is so mad. Moses, just you get away, you go down, because I'm getting ready to unleash wrath on them for what they had done. Just go. I don't know if you've ever been that mad. Just go. That was God. I'm getting ready to consume them. I have done so much for these people. Moses, you will be the leader of a great nation. It ain't going to be these people, though, because I'm going to consume them. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, Why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. And the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other, they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. God has never demanded anything of people that he hasn't told them ahead of time. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not a noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Moses, not too long ago, was pleading with God, calm down, God. Hold back from him. Don't do what you're getting ready to do. Don't do it. Moses gets down, sees what they're doing. Let me at him. Let me. Don't make me. Don't make me come back there. And Moses, he's doing the same. God had rubbed off on him. He's mad at these people for what they had done. Not mad at anything personal. He's mad that they had perverted God's word. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that we should go that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. I just picked Moses is thinking, yeah, right. You know, he's thinking, my mother sure had a dumb child. They're brothers. You've got to be joking. You let this people hornswoggle you. You've seen what God has done. And you are as guilty as they are. Verse 25, now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, Isn't that just us as people in a nutshell? That if we're not restrained, if we didn't have speed limit signs on the street, well, I'd probably still drive pokey anyway, but if we didn't have speed limit signs, even with speed limit signs, I look at how fast some people go. Could you imagine it without signs? Could you imagine it if there were no regulations? Leave it up to the people. It's bad enough with laws and regulations. Religiously. Think of children. Oh, I just didn't want to say no to my little son or daughter. Where it's to their shame. I love to see parents training their children properly, that actually use the word no. Because if you don't, and if they're left unrestrained, it's to their shame. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. That is such a vision to me, to have this multitude of people. Moses is hot. Whoever is on the Lord's side, get over here right now. And the ones that came over were the Levites. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. That's a very, when we talk about inconvenient truths, that's obedience. That's the consequences of obedience. I find it interesting that about 3,000 died that day due to disobedience to God's word. In Acts 2, we see 3,000 saved because of obedience. When they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" And Peter and the rest of them said, "Repent and be baptized." And it said about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 29, "Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother." There's a lot to be said about family. I came from a very small family. I had one aunt and uncle growing up. My dad was an only child. My mom had one sister. One of my dearest friends, they had six kids. And I mean, there was just people everywhere. I think I would have really liked that, to have had the brothers and sisters. I only had one sister, and we weren't even close. The older I get, the more I realize about family. There's something to be said about family. But there's something more to be said. You don't have any choice about your brothers and sisters. You do have Is there a backstory here? You know, you don't have any choice. You love your brothers and sisters, your aunts, your uncles, because, sometimes in spite of, because they're family. Your friends. You choose your friends. You choose your brothers and sisters in friendship. In Matthew 12, Jesus teaches the lesson, you know, he talks about, you know, your mothers and brothers are here to see you. And he says, who is my mothers and brothers? Who's my family? And he says, I think it's in verse 49, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's who my true brother, mother, and sister is. And I just think of us as brothers and sisters, we're held together by the blood of Christ and the truth of God's word. And you talk about blood's thicker than water. Well, that blood is thicker than anything, the blood of Christ. Verse 30. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. We're going to see in just these next verses, people are not accountable for other people's sins. But Moses felt that responsibility as a leader. And there's something to be said about that. As the leader, Moses was humble enough. This is partly my fault. If you're going to condemn them, God condemn me also. What a difference from Aaron. Why did you let the, you know, Moses understood, why did you let this happen? Well, they did it. This was their fault. Moses is telling God, if you're going to condemn the people, condemn me too. Because that's what makes a great leader. That's why Moses was such. That's probably, in my opinion, and there's no room for opinion in the scriptures, that's one of the reasons why God wanted Moses. Because God knew he was a great leader. Moses questioned whether he was a good leader. God knew he was because of this. Blot me out also. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. We will all have to answer for our sin. As parents, we're not going to have to answer for the sin of our children and vice versa. But sometimes as parents, don't we feel like Moses? Sometimes it was partly our fault. Maybe if we would have taught them better. Maybe if we'd have given a better example. But every one of us, like God told Moses, will have to answer for their own. I will punish upon them for their sin. So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. Brought everybody, kind of brought it all back. They sinned, But Aaron did too, because he allowed it to happen. Another, to me, I got a lot out of that. I don't know if you did, but a wonderful lesson for me here from Moses in Exodus. We always want to offer an opportunity for an invitation. I think there's a lot of elements in Exodus 32 today that applies to us today about obedience, being responsible for our own actions, obeying the word and the commandments of the Lord. If you need to respond to the invitation for prayers, repentance, whatever, please let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.